Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, the 12th of June. Coming up today, we'll hear from the manager of a charity shop that's become a regular target for thieves. And the Gillingham boss says he's looking to rein in the spending ahead of the new season. But first, taking a look at our top story today. Concerns about antisocial behaviour in Herne Bay have grown so much, there's now going to be a public meeting about it. Some people living in the town say it's being plagued by wannabe gangsters. Local Democracy reporter Dan Essen joins me now with some more on this story. So Dan, what are the issues in Herne Bay? Is it really that bad?
This meeting in Herne Bay has been organised off the back of what I'm told is basically two distinct groups of youth, usually very, very young children, early teenagers, who are basically seem to be a bit of a menace to the public in the area, essentially. There's I've been told, you know, they're often, you know, racing e-scooters up and down the street, often with bikes. A lot of them tend to go around with their face covered. There have been a lot of reports in recent months, in particular, of Memorial Park in the middle of Herne Bay being a bit of a congregating spot for groups of kids. One councillor tells me that she's had residents locally tell her, you know, elderly residents tell her that they're afraid to go out of their house when this particular group of kids are around, and that they often get sort of harassed and accosted in the street by these kids. So essentially, yeah, it's not violent crime, but I'm also told that there are a few instances of them allegedly vandalising the outside of businesses and that kind of thing. So it's quite disruptive antisocial behaviour, which many residents obviously find very intimidating.
Tell us a bit more about this meeting then. How's it come about?
So this meeting's come about off the back of local councillor Liz Harvey. She's Canterbury City Councillor for Heron Ward in Herne Bay. She told me she's been looking to organise a public meeting of this sort for quite some time. Essentially, she wanted to bring together the police, local businesses and, you know, local residents to basically work together to see if there's some kind of way that they can respond to this antisocial behaviour, which, you know, they clearly perceive to be on the rise and which clearly causes quite some trouble for them going about their day-to-day business.
And police are going to be there. What have they had to say?
So, yeah, police are going to be at this meeting. Sergeant Jonathan Sheehan from the Kent Police Community Safety Unit for the area is going to be in attendance. Basically, they tell me they're committed to providing greater visibility in the town. They say they've got a 22% reduction in number of reports of antisocial behaviour in the last 12 months and a 9% reduction in incidents involving serious violence. But nonetheless, they say, you know, we're not complacent. They don't underestimate the impacts they have on local residents, and that's why they feel it's important to show up and tell residents what they're doing about it, and hopefully work with residents to make them feel more secure in the face of, you know, this antisocial behaviour.
Thanks, Dan. Just a reminder that meeting's on June 24th in King's Hall, starting at 6 p.m.
Kent Online News.
A hearing's been told a convicted sex offender from Broadstairs overdosed on a cocktail of drugs in a hotel room days before he was due to be sentenced. Lyndon Brand from Hopeville Avenue had been found guilty of historic offences 3 months before his body was found in February. An inquest into the 60-year-old's death has been opened and adjourned. An investigation is underway after hundreds of dead fish were found floating in a lake in Ashford. They were spotted in Singleton Lake on Tuesday afternoon, but environment officers found no evidence of pollution. It's thought the deaths were caused by a drop in oxygen levels in the water after recent heavy rain. Staff at a charity shop in Kent have been telling us how their shop has become a regular target for thieves. Make a Difference Maidstone on the High Street have been forced to install CCTV, close fitting rooms and hide shoes in a bid to bring down the number of offences. Emma Colquhoun is the manager of the store. She's been chatting to Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
For us working in the shop, it's really difficult because obviously we're all here to try and make a difference to Maidstone. So we're constantly changing and putting out new donations and things. And then unfortunately for us, people steal them. And so sometimes it can make it sort of quite difficult to sort of carry on, in the sense of where the team can just sort of feel like we can make an amazing display of the wonderful things that we've been donated. You go around, you're really excited about it, you think, oh, did we sell that? No. Where is it? Check on the CCTV. Oh, someone's actually stolen it. So for us, it really changes in the sort of status of the things that I will put out in the shop, because obviously if something's over a certain price, I can't put it out on the shop floor because the likelihood is it will get stolen, which for our customer means that they either have to ask for assistance to get it out of a cabinet or it will never hit the shop floor. It will just go straight onto eBay because I know that the person donating it to me wanted me to make lots of money from it. But obviously, if it gets stolen, I'm not going to do that. So it's easier and safer for me to put it straight out onto the eBay room and put it on eBay, which is, it's just so frustrating because everything we do here goes back to the people in Maidstone. And so from the sort of circle of someone donating something that they've looked after for years or their precious collection, and then for me to put it out and for it just to be stolen, it's just destroying for us. But, you know, we carry on, we keep, and we're constantly trying to find ways to battle it. So, for example, recently we had a gentleman stealing shoes. Fortunately, we sort of stopped him yesterday and he only got away with one shoe. So now we've made the decision that we have to put the shoes out, one off, keep the one left out and the right under the till because people are taking them.
Robert Foley is the charity manager.
I think there is a rise in poverty just because of the credit crunch, the rise in fuel costs. People are having to find ways around things, and sadly, if people have got a lower moral line, they will happily steal. Many of us would never think of it, but people are being pushed that way as well as people that do it professionally, if you can call it that. So sadly, there is more to be done at the governmental level to stop this even being an option. But we are very blessed to have one Maidstone in the town where we have Steve and his team that do come round. They are a radio call away. So we do catch people 99% of the time. But sometimes the goods are already gone, or it's the moral hit that really hurts.
Ollie also put the question of increasing shoplifting offences to Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott.
We know that we've done a lot of work with businesses to encourage them to report, which they were not doing before. But we also know that in some other areas where we've been able to focus our policing resources, shoplifting has started to come down. So there is some work that needs to be done that we are doing through my Retail Crime Board to analyse quite what is happening in that space. It is a crime which is massively underreported anyway, so we want to encourage more people to come forward, more people to tell us about what's happening so we can bring more offenders to account.
Kent Online News.
The boss of a children's play centre in Aylesford says someone's caused thousands of pounds worth of damage to one of their Sen features. The multi-sensory water wall at Adventure Kids on the Quarrywood Retail Park was broken last week. It's in an area designed for children with special needs. The owner says if he finds out who's responsible, they'll be banned for life. It comes as vandals have targeted a leisure park in Medway just weeks after its grand reopening following a £250,000 facelift. More than a dozen lights at the entrance of the Strand in Gillingham have been ripped out. Council bosses say they're stepping up security. Now, the organisers of a village fete in Kent say strict rules and regulations could make community celebrations a thing of the past. Hawkhurst Summer Fete attracted more than 2,000 people last year. So council say they now need a premises licence and added security. Committee members say local events are at risk of being cancelled over the increasing cost and the amount of red tape.
Kent Online News.
A person's been treated by paramedics after breathing in smoke during a fire in Whitstable. Crews were called to tackle the flames in a kitchen on Herne Bay Road yesterday evening. It's thought to have started after a hob was left on. A separate blaze has broken out at a fish and chip shop in Chatham after a deep fat fryer caught alight. Two fire engines were sent to the Davis Estate Fish Bar on Shirley Avenue yesterday afternoon. Crews managed to put out the blaze and no one was hurt. Elsewhere, a former pub near Dartford has been destroyed in a fire. Crews spent more than 3 hours tackling the blaze at the derelict Welsh Tavern on London Road in Stone yesterday evening. The site's been taped off by police. You can see pictures and video at Kent Online. A court's heard how a Chatham man who was caught drink driving told police he was slurring his words because he'd been to the dentist. Mark Fever was pulled over for speeding on Maidstone Road in April. The 42-year-old from Hurstwood was found to be over the legal alcohol limit. He's been given a driving ban and ordered to pay more than £700. Now, the boss of a Kent homeless charity has told us a major change in the law should mean they can help more people. The government's decided to scrap what's known as the Vagrancy Act, which made it a criminal offence to sleep rough. That means anyone who was on the streets was at risk of being arrested. Tom Newmark is the CEO of Porchlight in Canterbury. He's been speaking to Nicola.
The sad fact is that not only was it often criminalised, the experience of being homeless, but also people who experience homelessness are very likely to be the victims of crime themselves. But because they are so on the back foot in terms of the police. They often wouldn't report that. So if people are attacked, if they're abused when they're on the streets, they won't go forwards because they know there's a chance the police can turn around and say, well, you shouldn't be doing that in the first place. So it can also mean victims of crime don't get support.
So, Tom, going forward, what does this mean? What's it going to change?
Well, hopefully it's part of us being able to build trusting relationships with people who are experiencing homelessness. There's about 200 people across Kent who'll be sleeping rough in any month. And a key thing to supporting those people is building up trust, building up rapport, building up a relationship. So, for example, our outreach workers will go out and they'll talk to people on the street. And you can imagine a lot of people, they might be afraid, they're fearful, they're worried about talking to someone. And if they don't have that hanging over their head of, I could get arrested for the mere fact of sleeping on the pavement, it'll hopefully be part of us being able to build trust and relationships with them. Obviously, in an ideal world, no one would even be on the street in the first place. Now, this changing this law isn't going to address that. But hopefully what it means is people who are sleeping on the street, it'll be easier for us to build up trusting relationships with them.
We've obviously chatted to your charity a lot over the years, and there are always some people who do want to stay under the radar and they don't want that help. But do you think for the vast majority, they will now feel that they can come forward and ask for support?
It's hard to answer that question because a lot of it depends on, well, what is on offer for people? What we need to offer people is decent, affordable, safe housing and ongoing support so that they can get a job, get training, resolve any issues that they might have. If those things aren't in place, lots of people will not even come forwards, even if they trust our worker, because they'll think that offer, it's just not attractive to me. It might even be scary to me. I'll give you one small example. One of the things we do in lots of our emergency accommodation is we're able to allow people to come in with their dogs. But actually, that often isn't the case. So often what people are being told is you've got to give up your dog if you want to be housed. And people have tremendous attachment to their dogs. So it's just not an attractive offer for them. So this is part of making it attractive for people. But there's a lot more we can do throughout Kent to mean people who are experiencing homelessness want to come away and want to start contributing to their community and getting a roof above their head.
Kent Online News.
A weather warning for thunderstorms has been issued for Kent. It'll come into force on Friday afternoon and last until Saturday morning. Forecasters say it could cause travel disruption, flooding and power cuts. A heat health alert will also be in place from tonight until Sunday. A former Wilko store in Kent is being turned into a big indoor market with 80 traders already signed up to have stalls there. It's hoped more than 200 will eventually sell vintage and upcycled products from the building on Sandgate Road when it opens on June 27th. It'll be known as Petticoat Lane Emporium and is the second one in the county. The other one's in Ramsgate. The Kent Online podcast has been told 50 jobs will be created at a port in Kent following a £30 million investment. The facility in Sheerness already employs more than 200 people who are involved in operating the site and loading and unloading cargo. A new roll-on, roll-off berth has been built there and will become operational on Monday. David Huck is Chief Operations Officer for Peel Ports Group. He's been speaking to reporter Joe Crossley.
We're here really to celebrate the fantastic investment in the port of Sheerness. We've just put £30 million of new ro-ro capability, new ramp, new berth here at the port of Sheerness, and delighted to welcome some of the largest ro-ro vessels afloat today here at the port of Sheerness.
Awesome. So what will that investment mean you'll be able to do differently than you were beforehand?
Port of Sheerness is probably one of our fastest growing ports in the group. We're seeing lots of interest in, I guess, ultimately changes in the industry. So we're seeing lots of movement in aggregates, in cement, in timber, in vehicle supply chains. And Sheerness is in a fantastic location in the main shipping corridor, but also has fantastic infrastructure networks in and around the Kent area and really right up into the Midlands. So the connectivity of Sheerness is fantastic. One of the things we're working on at the moment is to reinstate rail back into the docks here at Sheerness, and again to expand once again the hinterland of Sheerness. I think for me, the great positive thing about Port of Sheerness is the amount of new jobs we're creating. And that's really exciting, particularly for the next generation. I think a lot of people don't realise what actually goes on behind the dock wall, as it were. So lots of new careers in engineering, in marine, in stevedoring, and general plant and cargo operations. So this year we'll be creating 50 new jobs. They're well-paid jobs, they're highly skilled jobs. We provide all the training and development. And really, for your readers, we'd be absolutely delighted if they'd reach out to the business. If you contact us on our website, those jobs have started to go live now. And yeah, we hope to welcome lots of new people to our organisation in the coming months.
You can see pictures of the port as it looks now in the story on our website.
Kent Online News.
A Rochester woman has revealed she's the voice of the self-service checkout tills at Sainsbury's. Alison Parsons has worked as a dancer and model since 2021 and got the job after sending off an audition tape of her saying 26 different phrases. Her voice will be used until 2028. She says it's amusing to hear people getting frustrated at her while doing their shopping. And it's been confirmed the Duchess of Edinburgh is going to be visiting the Kent County Show next month. Sophie will be there on the Friday of the event at the showground in Detling. She'll get to meet local farmers, livestock, and see exhibits by businesses.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and the Gillingham Bosses told fans not to expect loads of new signings before the start of the season. Seb Palmer-Holden is the only new addition to the squad at Priestfield so far this summer, joining on a three-year deal from Bristol City. Here's manager Gareth Ainsworth.
The Gallinsons have put an enormous amount of money into this club, you know, in the last 2 years. And there's no way we could keep spending like that. It's just not. It's not the right way. It's not the right structure. It's not the right baseline, you know, to run the club. And I'm totally respectful that we will rein it in a little bit. But Brad and Shannon love this place. All they want is the best for it. So you know, I know that they would back me if I really, really wanted to get someone in and really went for it. Although they also trust me. Never to abuse that relationship as well, and I think that's a really nice place to be, you know, because I want to build something here, and you don't build by just flashing the pan stuff. You build by, you know, structure and belonging and environment, and that's what I want to do. I want Gillingham to be able to sustain the success when it comes, not just have a, you know, flash in the pan. That's me, and hopefully the fans will understand that it may take that little bit longer, but it will come and it will be sustainable rather than up, down and all over the place. And that's not the way I like to work.
Players leaving from, because you still have got quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely interest in one or two of our players. So and rightly so, they're good players. But I think every football club has that, you know, with their players, and everyone's scrambling around. People have worked with previous players. People have fancied players and they haven't done it. They think they can get them cheap, or so there's all those conversations going on, you know, at football clubs. So it's not it's never quiet, believe me. You know, people might think, oh, it's really quiet and why aren't we signing people. Behind the scenes, it's pretty chaotic at times, and I've always said, be patient, don't get involved in a scrap just because everyone else is signing players. Doesn't mean we have to. We'll do it the right way, and hopefully it's that first game of the season, people will see what we're trying to put together.
And you say one or two new signings maybe, but I suppose if more players do leave, then that could change.
Yeah, I can't see many more than three or four new ones coming in, you know, from now to this first game of the season. Yeah. But even after that, there's loan options. You pick up injuries in pre-season, you may have to change things. The squad, you know, will look very different from now to the 2nd of August. But definitely want to try and get one or two more over the line in the next couple of weeks, and we'll see. And if we don't, then we'll just do a little bit more patience from everyone, but we will get the right ones in. You know, I know what I want. I know the type of player I want and the dynamic I want in the team. Personality is important. Finance is important. Location is important. You know, and that's all got to come into it as well. So there's more than one thing. You know, you can't just say, why don't we get that player? We might have asked that player and he might have said, I don't want to move to Gillingham. I want to stay up north with my family. Or I want to, you know, my wife's having a baby and we've bought a new house. You know, all these discussions you don't hear in the general press and things like that. But behind the scenes, you get lots of reasons that you can't disclose why players want to come or why they don't want to come.
Meanwhile, Gillingham have also revealed their new home kit for the season. The blue shirt and shorts have lightning bolts incorporated into the design. You can see pictures and let us know what you think in our poll on the sports page of Kent Online. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.